Welcome back, part two, to the greatest podcast in the entire world of all humanity, as according to us, it is your two favorite hosts, part two. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey. It's part two. Make sure you listen to part one. This magic moment.
Skiddly-doo.
And also, make sure that you have checked out our website, graysacademypod.com. On it, you will find links to all the places you can stream us. You will find tidbits of factoids about us. You will find links to our Patreon and some merch. So go there and do all those things. And it's great. We love you. And now we're going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland. And I swear to you, if it's no one, I'm done with this podcast.
It is one, but I was very afraid this week. I was like, it took me a while to get to the one. I was like, oh no. But there is one.
So if it took you a while, I'm assuming this is a little bit more of an obscure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for finishing that for me.
You're so welcome.
Is it... Hold on, let me look at my notes here. Sometimes I forget the people.
Yeah, you do that. You do that.
Is it a random person in the opening scene who's just, like, walking?
No. It is a named human.
A named human. Okay, okay. Is... Who could it be?
Who could it be? Ay, ay, ay.
I only remember really meeting the mom and the dad...
Mm-hmm.
This is hard. Let me. Is it someone in Teddy's surgeries?
No.
I don't know. Who is it?
Michael, why are you calling me? I'm busy. It is janitor Mike at the end who comes in when Callie's harassing Arizona. And he's like, hey, do you mind if I get started? And she's like, hey, come on in. That's fine. We're leaving. Do you not remember that?
No.
Were you not watching? Oh, he like says words.
What was the scene? What happened?
So Callie's in the OR taking notes and Arizona comes in and is like, that was so great. And Callie's like, you suck. And they have their little back and forth.
Yeah.
And then when he comes in and he's like, hey, do you mind if I start cleaning up? And she's like, that's fine, Mike. Come on in. We're just leaving. And gets up and goes with Arizona.
Okay. I guess I vaguely remember that. But that was so obscure in my mind that I didn't even recognize it. So I'm sorry, Mike, but you've just kicked off Living in Shondaland for 2025.
Yeah.
In the least. I'm sorry. I did not remember you.
Miguel Najira or Najira, I'm not positive what pronunciation it is, if it's a hard or soft J. He is janitor Mike, and he is in one episode of Private Practice.
Are you sure it's not janitor Mike?
Yes, I am sure about that part.
Okay.
So...
Well, good. At least it's someone. Even if I didn't remember them, they're a person.
Yeah.
So I've got some more shout-outs really quick. I'm kidding. Although I do want to shout you out. I forget that you're pregnant. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's going real. I'm very lucky. It's going really well. I am still vomiting.
Mm.
Not as much as I was earlier on, but I feel envy towards people who only vomit in the first trimester or don't vomit at all. I've also been sick since Christmas, but I don't think that's, I think the only reason I equate that with pregnancy is because there's so few medications you can, like cold medicine you can take when you're pregnant. So it's rough. That's really my, I'm just like, I would love it for there not to be congestion in my head.
Yeah, that would be great.
Every time my ears are so congested, every time I swallow, it's like the popping noises. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Jessica a couple of weeks ago, I had one, like one day where it felt like my ear was like full of water and also an earplug, but there was nothing in my ear. And I was also convinced that I had ruptured an eardrum whilst blowing my nose. And I was like, oh, I was going to ask you for advice, but then I thought, better not. She has really a problems.
You know, it's funny. I, now that I'm in the medical field, I hear a lot about,
oh my God, I hate him so much.
What? Am I not in the medical field?
I would say no, you are not in the medical field.
You couldn't be more wrong, and it's so delicious how wrong you are.
Michael, for some reason, cannot separate, like my dad works at a hospital again, but I think because my dad started around the same time you were interviewing for Veg, somehow in Michael's brain, it's like conflated. And he's like, isn't it so crazy that both your dad and Carmen work for vets? And I'm like, my dad works at a hospital for human beings. And he's like, no, they both have the same job, but for vets. And I'm like, you're wrong. My dad works at a hospital for people. Carmen works at a hospital that is a vet hospital.
Yes.
He's like, no, I think they're both at vets. I'm like, all right, great, thanks, good talk.
It is funny. I was telling someone I work at an emergency vet hospital, and they're like, for like veterans, and I was like, no.
That's a fair question.
It's a fair question, but now I just say I work at an animal hospital.
That's funny.
To save that confusion for the
or a vet one. Emergency veterinary.
Yes. Anyways, I don't know where I was going. Oh, so yeah, now that I'm in the medical field, and I see behind, you know, the inner workings of the
anals of the medical field,
the anals of the medical field, the anals and the annals of the medical field. It's interesting that the things doctors choose to get upset about, or like their lack of bedside manner in some instances. And I just remember the time that Jessica and I went to like this ENT appointment, and the doctor was a total douche, like just a jerk until he realized.
I feel like she gets that so much.
She gets it a lot. I mean, at the time.
Which is such bullshit because she's like the nicest person.
Yeah. The only person nicer than her is me. So I'm kidding. She's much nicer than I am, actually. We were at the doctor, the ENT, and the guy was like kind of a douche. And then once he realized that actually something was wrong, he like flipped the switch and was like very kind, very like, let's solve the problem. But not often does that flip become switched for doctors, and they just double down sometimes. They're like, you're wrong, I'm right. Blah. And he was like, no, like there's an actual problem. I was wrong. Let's figure this out.
Well, and I don't mean to speak on that specific scenario because I wasn't there, but I have read a lot of things from both patients and doctors talking about how there's like a subconscious, I don't want to say sexism, but I'm gonna say sexism in like just when women present problems, a lot of times there's just like an underlying and not even necessarily like registered thing that they're like, oh, women just like don't tolerate pain. They're just being dramatic, all this stuff. And there's studies on it and about like maternal like mortality rates and things surrounding that, because they're like, oh, women just like are dramatic. And I had that some, not really from doctors, more from like people I knew. When I was on my journey to get my diagnosis for endometriosis when I was like 18, 19, and people just thought, oh, Kelsey just like complains a lot, which to be fair, I do. But this was actually a medical issue. And so then when I was like, oh, yeah, I have to have this surgery, a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't know you actually had something wrong with you. And I was like, that's so great. I love that for me. But it wasn't, again, I didn't get that from doctors. I have since I've gotten the diagnosis, gone to doctors and been like, oh, I'm having X, Y, and Z symptoms. And I've had some be like, well, that's just part of it. And I'm like, yes, but this is where we talk about treating it.
Right.
And they're like, nope, not. You just live with this way. And I will say, I've had both male and female doctors say that to me. So I like, it's just, there's definitely like a nuance. And there's also, and I won't speak on this as a white person, but I've also read like, there's nuances towards like the Black community and Black women specifically as well, about like thinking like, oh, well, their bodies just handle things differently, so I don't need to take it as seriously, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of like research on it. I just think, and there are a lot of incredible doctors who go out of their way to dispel those stereotypes and like work against that. So I do want to recognize that. It's just something that I know that has like existed in the world, and there are doctors who are just dicks, and then there are doctors who there's like an underlying misogyny or whatever it might be that is learned that they don't even realize is learned. But I said this in Discord, because my dad was a practice manager, like at a orthopedic practice, and then his job on admin has many roles, but part of it is like dealing with patients. If they call and they're like, hey, this doctor was an asshole to me. And then he kind of has to suss out, was the doctor an asshole or did you just like not like your diagnosis? Like different things like that. But from that, I have kind of learned more on what you can accept from doctors, and you can push back and be like, hey, don't treat me like that. Like, I don't actually care if you think I'm lying, because I'm not. And so advocating for yourself. And if you don't feel comfortable with a doctor, you're not obligated to stay there. You can find a new one. You can get a second opinion. It is hard and super frustrating, especially like the way the insurance is like, you need to prove that you need a doctor by seeing another doctor.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. But and a lot of, I will say, a lot of public hospitals, I don't know if this is true for private hospitals, but a lot of public hospitals have patient advocacy departments. And if you're having an issue with a doctor, you can request someone from patient advocacy come to the room, or just like set a meeting with them. And it, you can, to my understanding, there is a pretty immediate shift in the way the situation gets handled. So there are resources.
You know what else is annoying about the medical world in general? How hard it is to even get like an appointment for just like a regular proactive
care. Yeah, it's really frustrating. And like, we got a bill that was billed incorrectly because it was coded wrong. Because they have to use very specific codes for insurance to be like, yes, we'll cover this. And so now we have to call the doctor and be like, you coded this wrong, which is absurd that I would even need to know that. That is simply not my job.
Yeah.
And it's just very frustrating. And I think a lot of times with insurance, people will just give up because they are tired and don't want to fight it. But really, if you push back, like you don't have to. Like sometimes if you just push back a little bit, they'll be like, oh, okay. So it's frustrating. It's easy to be overwhelmed. It's very frustrating, especially like trying to talk to a real person can be frustrating, trying to get in. And that's like a lot of times you're dealing with that on top of whatever illness you are also trying to fight or treat in the first place.
Right.
So, but the big victory is they did rule that medical debt can no longer go on your credit. So hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, fuck them bills.
Let's just let bankruptcy apply to college loans.
Hell yeah.
Or just forgive them all.
That too, please. My back hurts. It's from pregnancy.
I love it. All right.
Let's talk about Bailey and Meredith. And Bailey and Ben. This is funny. So, okay, I will say they established more than once. It has been 2 weeks since the last episode. It has been 2 weeks since Henry died. There's been 2 weeks since they got Zola back. So that is the time frame we are currently looking at. Miranda and Ben are back together. Yay, hurrah.
As I predicted.
He wants to move in. She is hesitant. What Which are your feelings about
I
this?
Because
I was like, is he going to feel like it's reminiscent to like Eli pressuring her? Does he feel like it's the same kind of pressure? Does it seem like it's more of a conversation? There were parts where I was like, I see both sides. My main issue was like, there's a time and a place and this ain't it.
Yeah. Basically any time a conversation like this happens with a patient open on an operating table, I'm like, this is just not right. This is just not the place. The only people who can do that and make it look funny are Mark and Jackson. Right. So, and they did it with actual, like, you know, wild surgery stuff on the line. Not that Bailey and Ben and what's her face? Meredith didn't. It is just very different. And I think my line in the sand is when it's tense conversation like that, there's not a place for it. When it's joking, jovial, and it's like putting all the things at ease and it's stress relieving, that makes sense to me. But I see where Ben is coming from because it's 9 months plus 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But what's the statute of limitation where the 9 months does not... It's like when you go back to a company and they're like, we're going to bridge your service time. This didn't happen. 2 weeks is not long enough to bridge the service time. You know what I mean? Yeah. If it was maybe 2 months, 3 months, okay, let's bridge that. But two
I
weeks is still so new and fresh.
I agree, but they were having... This isn't 2 weeks only that they've been talking, because they did kind of... They were talking and like working together and being cordial a while ago.
Yeah, like, but that while means she was nothing still in with relationship Eli. Time.
I just say, like, if they just saw each other on the street and they were like, let's get back together, I would be more on your side. But because there was still like a decent amount of interaction and like talking and seeing each other, I'm like a little bit more like, okay, we can kind of bridge the time. I will say him saying, hey, I'd like us to move in together is more reasonable to me than him saying, hey, move in with me today. There is, I feel that's where I'm a little bit like, oh, let's plan on, you know, like at the end of the month or whatever it might be.
Well, he gets to a better point too, where it's not, this didn't feel icky gooey pressure, like machismo Eli version of pressuring to me. This was like, I don't know, they've written Ben as a very sarcastic character and I like the way he presents things, because it is kind of, even when he's making a serious point, there's like a joke to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe in some ways is not healthy. However, when he at the end gets to the point of, I'm not saying move in fully with me, I'm saying let's start with a toothbrush. Let's start with a pair of socks. Let's start with... And I know I'm jumping the gun, but like, you can tell that there's an investment in Bailey's life that Eli didn't have, because he's met Tuck. What does he say? He's like, look, I love dinosaurs and I love Transformers. So like, I am going to be okay. I want to spend time with your kid. Which, how old is Tuck now? Like 4?
Three? Yes. 3 or 4.
So I don't know. I didn't feel icky gooey with the way that
maybe
Ben
5.
Was going about it. I see more of Bailey's side of, I'm not trying to rush things.
Well, and she says, she's like, I thought I had everything and I lost it. And then I thought I had everything again and I lost it. And now I'm just afraid. And he's like, I am also afraid. Like, I also don't want to ruin. Like, I'm not doing this because I want to ruin. And I'm doing it because I want us to have that. And I do like that Tuck becomes a central part of the conversation, because that is important to remember. And I also like, to your point about the Eli relationship, Bailey separately from Eli to other people when she's dating him says, like, I'm just fucking him. Like, I'm just in this for sex. And so then he like wants it to be more. And then that's when it feels weird, versus like with Ben, it was always like, this is the first like serious relationship I'm having post divorce.
Right,
like I'm a serious person. This is not something I take lightly. And so that it's just like there's always a different establishment on like what the expectations were and are. And I see her hesitation, but it does seem like it's less about Ben and more just about the world around her being like just being afraid to lose it again because she does love him. But I was happy to see like them bring Tuck into the conversation, him being like, I understand that that is a big deal, but like I also I need you to understand that I also care about your son, and I know that that's not a separate packet, like that is, it's both of you, and I'm aware of that.
Yeah, I was actually nervous in that conversation where he says that I like the dinosaurs, I like Transformers, and I like you, and I'm recognizing all those things. Then they go to like, he goes to kiss and she pulls away.
Yeah.
And I got nervous for a split second. Yeah. And then as she's walking away, I was like, dang, Bailey, like what could he have possibly said that you didn't like? And then when she says, my toothbrush is in my locker, one step at a time.
I got to get it right now because I'm real turned on.
Right. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. So he did say the right things because felt like a good dialogue to me. And I'm like, Bailey, if that was a bad dialogue, I don't think I could ever have a conversation with you because I would never be on your good side. So it's I'm really invested in their relationship. I like them. I think they make a cute couple. I also think when you reflect back on Bailey as the teacher and Bailey as the practitioner of medicine, she's lost George. Izzy no longer is around. Meredith had like went through the journey with her. On top of all that, Charles died in her arms. There was the shooting. There was all of these things. The divorce.
Her divorce. Her almost pregnancy losing, and how that changed her career.
Exactly. All of those things, and you look at where Bailey's at right now, I think I've really grown to appreciate the way that Chandra Wilson.
Yeah.
Plays Miranda Bailey and where and how the showrunners and the writers are writing her character, because I'm just rooting for her so much.
Yeah.
And they've written Ben as like a pretty good guy, I think. Mm-hmm.
They make him easy to root for as well.
Yeah. So I'm invested in their relationship. I'm happy to see where it continues to go. It is funny, though, watching every time Bailey gets flustered by Warren is really funny to me.
Yeah.
And actually, the beginning part of this episode, they bring in some comedic relief to Bailey and Meredith and, like, their relationship now.
At the beginning of this, when Ben wants to talk to her about this, Bailey's like, I must avoid this conversation at all costs. Meredith, you can no longer enjoy this once-in-a-lifetime surgery. Come over here and pretend you don't know what a spleen is. And to Meredith's credit, she does a great job. She's like, I forgot how to do stitches. Is that a spleen? What is this? Is it blood? Like, it's very funny.
And we're taking the whole thing out? Yes, good question.
And at first, it's really funny because Bailey's like leaning into it. And then later, Bailey turns on Meredith so hard and is
so
like,
quick.
She got too comfortable with her husband and she fucked up everybody's lives. And Meredith is like, I disagree with this. And Miranda's like, I don't give a shit. And then Meredith is like, I forgot how to do something else. And Miranda's like, figure it out. I'm too busy shit talking you to also be teaching you.
And what's funny about all that is like the initial introduction of this, when Bailey says, the fact that I know things about your personal life is one of the greatest sadnesses of my existence. And
so
Meredith kind of has a gentle pause and
says, sorry about that. Oh, okay. Yeah, I pulled that whole thing because it's so funny. And she's like, we're about to operate with Dr. Warren. He and I are involved. And Meredith goes, everybody knows that. And Bailey goes, can you not pretend? And Meredith goes, oh, you and Dr. Warren? Wow. So funny.
Oh, gosh. You know, I think I say this often, but not often enough. Remember that time that Meredith was on drugs or drunk?
Yes. She was on drugs. It was when she has the appendectomy.
Yes. Ever since then, I really am a fan of Ellen Pompeo's comedic timing.
Yes, she's very funny.
Too bad they finally wrote her off in season 21 and killed her, am I right?
Who knows?
I don't.
Me neither. It's not over yet, so.
Can you tell me a spoiler question?
You can ask it.
Do either Zach Braff or Donald Faison ever make it into an episode of Grey's Anatomy?
Do you actually want me to tell you the answer?
I feel like I do want to know.
I don't feel like you don't. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. I would love to see them be in the episode as best friends, and they are playing doctors from the hospital in Scrubs. And then be Scrubs becomes Grey's canon.
That would also be funny. But there have been a lot of people that were also in Scrubs, so that would be a little world explodey. Like how half the people in Private Practice are also in Grey's as different people.
And oh, like, 'cause yeah.
Wasn't Jake in Scrubs for a while? Or Henry,
Jake,
rather?
Yeah, Jake was in Scrubs. What's his name? Henry was in Scrubs. Also, Cooper was in Scrubs.
Yeah, exactly. So it might be a little too much for them to be the same characters canonically.
All right. What else with Bailey and Ben and Meredith? Was there anything else with them?
Miranda's like, don't talk to me while I work. I'm laser focused. And then they can't find a sponge for like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's on the bottom of her shoe.
I was really nervous that it was inside the patient.
Yeah. Because they make you think it is. And also, we've seen that before. And it's very upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that the one scene where Ben kind of does ask, what was that? What did he say? So, Meredith goes to get food and he says 2 weeks, something about that. And he's like asking her and he says, I got my answer and then walked away. I also think that that was unfair to put Bailey in that situation when you're pressuring for an answer and it was a non-answer, really.
Yeah.
A non-answer most times is not actually an answer. It's just a not now answer. And I don't like that trope in TV and movies of your silence is all the answer I need.
Yeah. Like sometimes I do feel like that's the case, but I don't feel like it's fair to say it's always the case.
It's sometimes the case.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Sometimes it is.
All right. So should we talk? Was there anything else on that subject that you think we need to talk through?
No, I don't think so. This magic moment. I wish I knew more of that song because it's stuck in my head.
That one line is pretty memorable.
I'm going to have to learn some more of it because it is really in my head. Okay.
You know what I was thinking about yesterday? I want to just
Pub
go.
Subs.
Well, that. Food just in general is always on my mind.
Yeah.
I really want to get not GarageBand. I have GarageBand.
You have that.
Guitar Hero. I want to get Guitar Hero and just like sit on my couch and play Guitar Hero for hours.
I never really played Guitar Hero.
I was listening to a Beatles song and I remember I was listening to I Saw Her Standing There and I had Beatles Rock Band for the Xbox 360, but I have a PlayStation 2 and I have an Xbox 360 and I'm like, should I just get Guitar Hero again and like find a used one and just like play it? I think I should.
Okay. Well, we'll take a real quick moment to hear about other capitalist things you can consume. And then we'll be right back after a moment from these sponsors. We're back.
I hope that someone got a message about Guitar Hero.
I would be pretty shocked. It is 2025, but.
And the advertisement was, remember Guitar Hero? Well, it's back.
You can still buy it. Ugh. just wish I was on a beach, you know?
Truth. Truth.
Okay. So lastly, we're going to talk about the most depressing part of this episode.
Teddy and Christina.
And April, who I do actually feel bad for in this episode. I don't often feel bad for April, but this time I do. So basically what is happening, if you don't recall, is apparently since Henry has died, Teddy has had Christina just follow her around, not operating, just reciting from memory, moment to moment, what happened in Henry's surgery. And it's really hard to watch. Christina is doing it. You can tell she's doing it. She feels obligated to do it. She feels like she owes it to Teddy, but you can tell it's hard for her. She doesn't feel good about the outcome of that surgery. I think she also knows that there was nothing else she could have done, but it is still hard to carry that. Also, April is on Teddy's service. So every time this happens, April is also there having to listen to it, and she is not having a good time.
And it is visible. She's giving a lot of nonverbal cues, and then eventually some verbal cues.
And then it's like, you have to shut the fuck up. And Teddy's like, do you need a minute? Because my husband's dead. So, Christina, why don't you talk about it some more?
Listen, you want to talk about, like, a gaslighter. Freaking April finally breaks and is like, this, you need to stop. This is crazy. He's dead. Blah. And when Teddy goes, Kepner, are you all right? Is there a problem? Yeah, the problem is you, Teddy.
Yeah.
But also, in her defense, she did just lose her husband.
Yeah, so once this storyline kind of climaxes and comes to wrap up, it is more understandable what is happening. Teddy wasn't there. She wants to know everything like she was there, and she tells Christina, you did everything exactly what I would have done. Like, there was nothing you could have done differently. He just died. She needed to get there, and that's how she got there. It's just a bummer that she had to involve Christina in that process. So it does become more clear. The scene with the two of them in the scrub room, when she gets to that moment of realization and she's like sobbing, and Christina's also like on the verge of tears, and Christina apologizes, and Teddy's like, don't blame yourself. Like, there's nothing. He just died. When she says he just died, it's so heartbreaking. It's very upsetting. But they both do such a good job.
What was that?
They both do such a great job with like delivering all of those scenes. Because yeah. There is a moment where Teddy starts asking questions and Christina's like, no, I know. I wasn't blindly feeling like I know what the pulmonary artery is. It's kind of a big deal. And so she's like answering the questions, filling in all of these gaps for Teddy. So Teddy has the fullest understanding she can have about what happened. And then that's what she needed. Again, it's just a bummer that how she gets there has to like negatively impact Christina as well.
And by proximity, April too.
Yeah.
When this storyline starts and Teddy pages Christina in, I think there was a moment where someone was like, oh, again? And Christina was like, yeah, you know, whatever. Got to do what I got to do. And it didn't register until Christina obviously walks into that surgery. She starts talking through it, and I was very confused to start. And I was more confused when it then happened again. And I think the second time you see it, Teddy makes her repeat it. Maybe it was the first time, but one of those times that Teddy says, and she gets the end, and then she says, Christina says, call time of death. And Teddy says, okay, good, do it again. Like, let's take it from the top.
Start from the top, yeah.
And that was confusing to me. As the episode progressed more and more, it became more apparent of what was going on. I also don't know if this was intentional or if this is just a connection that I'm making up in my head, but it's Christina's only giving Teddy this recurring piece while she's physically doing a surgery. And I think that's helping Teddy put herself into the physical hands of Christina more and visualize the actual surgery taking place on Henry. And I think that's why it's unfortunate, because Christina's not actually scrubbing in on the surgeries, but it's not like Christina is being paged to come to Teddy's house and say in the middle of the night, walk me through the surgery. It's only when Teddy's doing a surgery. So I don't know if that was an intentional piece of the healing or like the metaphor that they're using, but that was something that I noticed. And yeah, to your point, when they get to that end scene and Teddy finally has been like, okay, I have exhausted every part of this. I've asked, I've prodded, I've cried, I've repeated this in my head 1,000 times. What did
when
she say?
When she says 8:52 p.m. at the same time as Christina, I'm like, my heart.
Do you have the exact dialogue from that after that? I think I have some of it, but I don't know if I have all of it. No.
This magic moment of depression. Yes. Okay. Christina says, they both say 8:52 p.m. Christina says, I'm sorry. And Teddy said, don't apologize. You hear me? Don't blame yourself. You did every single thing that I would have done. You were me in that OR. You were good and you did it right. He just died. So sad.
When I think that there's a healing piece that Christina needed to hear in that, when she says,
for
you were
sure.
Me in that
I'm
OR.
Glad that she like was like, don't blame yourself. You did it. Like, there's literally nothing I would have done differently. There's nothing any great surgeon would have done differently that would have mattered. Like, if there is a hole in the pulmonary artery and you don't know it and he loses half of his blood volume, there's nothing else you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. It brings a powerful conclusion to the end of that storyline. And it gives us, again, another moment to see, like, Teddy and Christina interacting in a different way. Incredible acting from the two of them. And, yeah, I'm just glad that there's some healing and moving forward that can happen now.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do some Discord questions.
Let's.
Apparently I don't have any.
Oh.
Interesting. I thought I did. That's really bizarre. That's my bad, guys. I thought there was a very lengthy conversation about this episode. Well, I know Maddie said something about the Christina and Teddy thing. It must have just been in a different thread.
I can pull up some of her specific Instagram messages if you'd like.
Well, did she ask you questions about this episode?
Sorry, not questions, like her comments. Because she did have a lot to say on this specific one, or just on this particular storyline that has happened.
I do think that Alicia is going to be writing a fan fiction. With Teddy and Henry. Basically about like how we had like Ghost Denny, but it would be like Ghost Henry, but he wouldn't be a brain tumor. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just didn't do any questions. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
But let's make predictions, I guess, then. And then we'll do the rest of this stuff.
I predict that Henry is going to come back in an episode from the dead. Okay. Kind of like Denny and Ellis.
Dylan,
yeah. And the girl, the one girl for the pole through her body.
Yeah, that was Dylan. And Nurse Fallon.
Who?
Nurse Fallon.
Who's that?
They did the Whipple, and it was Ellis's scrub nurse. She was in that episode where Meredith drowns.
I don't remember her.
Well, then you're a fake fan.
I'm just a fan who's only watched this one time.
That's not enough.
I know. I recognize that now that I'm in the thick of it. The thick. Okay. So, predictions. Yes. Henry is going to come back in an episode, and it's going to be the episode that Teddy decides that she's going to have to leave because she's going to start hallucinating Henry, and it's not going to be a brain tumor. It's just going to be her emotions. Oh. And that's prediction number one. Prediction number two is that Izzy comes back and becomes the new chief of surgery.
Super real prediction.
What?
Super real predictions.
Super real prediction. No, the first one was real. The second one is not real.
Yeah. Okay. What about while we're on Teddy? What do you? Okay. So she's gotten to this point of acceptance. So what is her relationship with everyone moving forward? Because we've only really seen her with Christina and April, right? We haven't seen her with like everyone else who lied, which is everybody. Yeah. But we haven't seen her like with Richard, who was in the surgery, or Owen, who made these calls. So what are your thoughts?
I don't know if I'm fully second guessing myself, but I'm partially second guessing myself of, okay, she's gotten to the acceptance piece quicker than I anticipated. Maybe she doesn't leave the show for this reason. So I do still think that Teddy's going to have to leave the show before the end of this season, but I don't, maybe it's not Henry related or it's not because she can't work with people, but I think it's because there's another chapter of her life she needs to do. I just hope that it's not, you know, moving to Germany with Andrew Perkins or wherever he went.
He did go to Germany. Good memory.
Okay. Some things I remember.
Yeah. It's very interesting. The things, the one-off things that you remember.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is bring back Olivia.
Yeah.
So I think that she's going to be able to forgive Weber. I don't know that she's going to be able to forgive Hunt. She'll understand it. It's kind of like when Bailey, does she yell at Han or is it Arizona where she's like, I know that you're doing this for my kid. Is Arizona, right?
No, that was Han.
Was it Han?
Yeah. She was like, I know you're saving my kid's life, but if I never have to talk to you again, it'll be too soon.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I think that she'll be able to forgive Weber. I don't know that she'll have the same relationship with Hunt. Although ever since she stopped making oogly eyes at him, they've had a different relationship anyways.
Yeah.
Which that feels like it was 20 minutes ogo that they were at Christmas and she was just ogling him.
I know, right? It's kind of wild.
You know, we didn't even talk about really Derek and Meredith just being the best parents.
Oh, right.
Just
and
so
Zola
super cute.
Walking and being really cute.
I predict that they're going to grow old with Zola, and I no longer think that Derek is going to die tragically before moving in the house. I think that he's going to see some of Zola growing up and then tragically die.
Okay.
Which is
but
worse.
But they get to live in the house.
Yeah, he'll get to live in the house.
Okay.
Zola better not die. If this show goes on another 20 years or whatever, I hope that Zola is growing up and moving away to college or comes back and becomes the doctor and like Meredith retires and Zola comes back and takes over her legacy.
Okay, so Derek does die tragically, but they get to live in the house first.
Yeah.
So when would he die and or how?
Derek dies season 13. And car explosion.
Car explosion.
Spontaneous combustion.
Just driving down the road. Do-do-do-do-do. Boom!
Look at my Porsche. Isn't it fast? Now it's on fire and I'm dead at last. Ka-chow!
Nice. Okay, and so Zola, yeah, she's really cute. They trying to get her to walk at the beginning of the day, and then she does walk at the end of the day, which I do have to call continuity on because Owen is like, this is going to be an 18-hour surgery, so that would have been a different day, but it's fine.
Also, did they do a full 18 hours of practice every time they did that surgery? I don't think so.
No, I think they did the moments, like the flip, or and then they were just like, oh, and then we'll do X, Y, and Z, and then you'll come in and do X, Y, and Z.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I still predict that Lexi and Mark are going to get back together before the end of this season.
Okay.
Excuse me, podcast burp.
So you think he'll break up with Julia or Julia will break up with him?
I think he's going to break up with Julia. Or okay. Julia walks in on Mark and Lexi kissing. Intensely drama. In the middle of the waiting room lobby area.
Okay. Anything for Jackson?
Him and Kepner.
He kind of had a bit of an eye roll moment when Lexi was like, I'm going to go update the parents. Because Mark was talking about Julia. And then he was like, ugh.
Yeah. I'm going to say that him and April are going to get married. April Kepner and Jackson Avery get married.
When?
And season 10. Also, okay. Jackson takes Kepner's last name.
Okay, and then...
Jackson Kepner.
Anything for Alex?
No, not quite yet. But I do have a feeling he ends up getting the PEDS fellowship with Arizona.
Okay.
Actually, that's my prediction. Jackson, what's his name? Alex gets the PEDS fellowship.
Okay, what about Christina as an individual and then also Christina with Owen?
I want them to get a divorce. That's what I want. Maybe Owen dies. Maybe that's how Weber gets back into the chief of surgery slot. Maybe Teddy kills Owen, and that's how they both leave the show. Because she needs to go to jail.
So do you think Richard is going to be the chief of surgery again?
I do.
He's just been trying to retire for so long.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get it. I think he's going to get suckered in, and he's going to be doing chiefy things. I don't have any predictions for Alex for Hunt. I just don't know. I don't know. I feel like the last couple of episodes, he's specifically been in limbo, but he's like damaging relationships with Christina and with Teddy, with the choices that he's making, which, to be clear, are the right choices. What he did as chief was the right choices for those scenarios. It just sucks.
I disagree, but okay. It's okay. Well, I agree on don't tell Teddy while she's operating. That part I agree with. I don't agree with everybody lying to Christina.
Right.
That's the one I disagree with.
Yeah, but you're right.
Go ahead.
No, that was it. I think that was it. I just
okay.
Where Anything we're at right for... now in the show, I'm having a hard time predicting things.
Yeah. Well, what about Ben and Bailey? Obviously, she's like, they're going to move forward with their relationship.
I just love them. And I think that... her husband and Ben are going to get into a fight because her husband's going to want her back. Or Eli and Ben get into a fight.
Okay. Trying to look at the rest. Okay, so this is episode 11 and there are 24 episodes in this season. So is there anything else you want to like say happens in this season?
Season 8 is the season of the gunshot. And no, I don't know. I think that's it. All I have right now. I think I'm like having a hard time seeing with all the stuff that's happened already in the season where season 8 ends. Like, I just don't know what season 8 is going to hold, like in the finale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have a crossover coming in how many episodes?
Three. Hold on, let me see. 12, 13, 14, 15 is the crossover episode. So you really gotta crank that shit out.
Okay. I mean, if I really need to, I will just skip and I will just watch the things in private practice and then go backtrack later if I have to. I don't want to, but I have to watch season.
Yes, but no one feels bad for you because you had a lot of warning.
It's the holidays. It was hard.
It wasn't. Okay, well, do we have anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, well, let's rate the episode.
Okay, this is not a 5. But I don't think it's a 4 either. Like, it's too good to be just a 4, but it's not good enough to be a 5.
Yeah. I honestly am at, like, a 4.2.
I feel like I'm, like, 4.5 is kind of where I feel like I'm at.
Yeah. Because, everything with Christina and Teddy I thought was really good. But I agree, they do kind of... I mean, and the conjoined twin surgery is a big deal, but at the same time, they don't play it as a big a deal as they start to play it as. So that to me, I was kind of like, that was a little off. But yes, yeah, some really good stuff. It's definitely setting things up moving forward.
Yeah. Giving some insight into the personal life of Derek and Meredith and Zola was nice. Establishing that 2 weeks had passed. I think it is a pretty intense shocker when 2 weeks have passed and you think like the gravity of every interaction that Christina and Teddy have had professionally for 2 weeks is her reciting Henry's death surgery.
Also, I'm like, Teddy, take some time off.
Yeah, this is where we need to get Violet or Sheldon involved, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, that's the crossover we would have. Like, Sheldon and Teddy would have been a good crossover.
Dr. Wyatt can come back and fucking therapy
these people. Oh, yeah. Bring back Dr. Wyatt. Forgot about that person. Yeah. So, yeah, 4.5 I think is fine with me.
Richard's stuff is funny, even though
Richard's,
it's kind of bad, but it's also funny. Arizona sucks. I don't feel like enough people were mean to her about it, in my opinion.
No, yeah, should have been more. But at least Callie was mean to her.
Yeah.
She finally gets her comeuppance.
Yeah. I don't feel like there was very much Derek in this episode. I wonder if he was, like, shooting something else.
He was doing his surgery, and he was being a dad.
Yeah. Mark and Jackson are cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it.
I feel good with it.
I feel great. You gonna go take a nap now?
Yeah, I hope.
You have to watch an episode of Private Practice today.
I will. I started one on the train coming home yesterday. After, because I watched Grey's. What?
What did you work overnight last night?
I worked late 2 nights in a row. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, I sent Carmen when I was up with my terrible heartburn. I sent Carmen something on Instagram at like 2:30 in the morning, and he responded immediately, "Why are you awake?" And I was like, "I'm having the worst heartburn of my life." And he goes, "Oh well, I just got home from work, so we're just doing really well over here."
Yeah. What I will say is, and I'm mentally preparing all of you for this, while I don't yearn for it, we might do an episode where it's a Grey's episode of Grey's Academy, but it's not a TV episodal. Occipital.
We're not going to plan on that.
I'm not going to plan on it, but if there is, I would rather do something like that.
It feels like
than
when I give you a fallback, you're like, we'll just do the fallback.
No. I'm just saying if I'm close, I'm going to do my best. I'm just saying that don't be alarmed if we need an additional
Everyone
week
bully
together.
Him.
No, don't bully me. Be nice.
Everyone bully him.
Do you think AI could give me a synopsis of
Stop using AI. It's bad for the environment.
Okay.
I'm going to send you all the articles about how it's bad for the environment, because I feel like you just are unaware of it, because I do know that you care for the environment.
I do, but ChatGPT is bad for the environment?
Yes, quite.
Oh. Wow. That's no good.
I'll send you the real thing so you're not just taking my word for it. There are sources on it.
Okay. I believe you.
Okay, well, that's good then. Just blindly believe everything I say.
Got a notification that Israel and Hamas have negotiated a ceasefire and hostage release.
Well, I hope that it sticks this time, because they've done this several times and then it doesn't fall through. Also, the wildfires in California are still going. Unfortunately, the winds are picking back up, making it difficult again. A lot of very positive resources have come out. So there are a lot of ways to find those and donate. There's a lot of different Google documents that kind of house everything together. There's like Google Documents with all the GoFundMes, and then there's Google Documents with like places you can donate like actual physical items to. And then I know there's places that are just like, a lot of places are just requesting gift cards for like food or meals, like Uber Eats, stuff like that. Just make sure if you're able to donate and you are donating, like double check where you're donating, because there are unfortunately shitty people who are taking advantage mm-hmm. of good people. So just double check. But a lot of the resources have already kind of been vetted as like what is good. So when you are doing that, looking into it and sharing, just make sure what you're, make sure you're sourcing your sources. So.
Truth.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate all of you. Please continue to share. Make sure you go to our website, because that's where you're going to find anything you need to know. If you have any questions or thoughts or anything like that, you can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. The website is graysacademypod.com. We are on all the platforms as Grays Academy Pod, but TikTok will probably be gone in like 4 days. So we will no longer be on that. No one will be. So we'll see what happens.
It's all right.
If Elon buys it, I'm going to get off of it. So
yeah. Just more space for more reels on Instagram. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's already a new app, Red Note, that's trying to take over as the new TikTok. So,
no, great.
But yes, we hope you all are having a lovely time in the midst of everything being the worst. January can be rough because it's cold. The weather is a bit dismal. Everyone's got the snifflies. The inauguration's about to happen. Everything's terrible. We hope to bring a bit of smiles and levity to all of you in these times. And we hope that you can spread the joy where you can find it. And we hope that we can all see the joy together. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, you can give him a tiny bit of joy. But remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all, and we'll see you all in the next one.